Chapter 1. What the Bible is not. Let's begin our conversation by answering a seemingly simple question. What exactly is the Bible? I've heard people describe the Bible as the owner's manual. I'm looking at the owner's manual for my Ford Mustang as I write these words. It begins with a table of contents that starts with the basic safety features of my car, then moves on to how to operate my vehicle, then how to do routine maintenance and repairs. Near the end, it offers troubleshooting. Sitting next to my owner's manual is my Bible. I wish it were written like my Ford manual. Instead, its table of contents begins with stories of people who lived in the ancient Near East thousands of years ago. Next come books of poetry, followed by books written by fiery prophets warning about the wrath of the Assyrian and Babylonian armies. Next are the New Testament Gospels, telling stories about what Jesus said and did, about his crucifixion and resurrection. These are followed by 21 letters, called the Epistles, written by people called apostles, to Christians living in the Roman Empire 2,000 years ago. Finally, about where the troubleshooting guide should be, there's a book of Revelation with stories of multi-headed beasts and dragons. This is definitely not written like an owner's manual. I've heard people refer to the Bible as an acronym for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. As fun as the acronym is, the Bible is neither basic nor simply instructions for what to do before you die. Some treat the Bible as though it were a magic eight ball. Do you remember the magic eight ball? It looks like a regular billiard ball, but on the bottom is a glass window. Inside, there is a mysterious blue fluid and a die with 20 sides and 20 different sayings. You ask the magic eight ball a question, should I quit my job to find something better? And shake the ball. One side of the die comes up with your answer. Signs point to yes. Many treat the Bible the same way. We ask God a question, should I quit my job and find something better? And then we flip open the Bible to some random page and read, He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. Psalm 29, verse 6. Yes, I actually flipped my Bible open to see what would happen with a random verse. Perhaps it's not meant to work like the magic eight ball. Some expect the Bible to be a book of systematic theology, carefully laying out doctrine and dogma in each verse. But while Christian systematic theology is grounded in the Bible, you'll seldom find doctrine carefully spelled out in the biblical text. Try searching for an explanation of the Trinity, or a comprehensive explanation of atonement theories, or how it is that Jesus is both human and divine. Even a chapter giving a complete explanation of the meaning of baptism would be great. But you won't find this either. I attended a meeting of the Young Earth Creationists in Kansas City several years ago. Nice folks, but very intense. Evolution is a lie. The evidence points to an Earth that is less than 10,000 years old. Amid the comments was this one. There is only one eyewitness account of creation. It is found in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. God knows what he did, and he told us in his word, and God does not lie. For them, at least, Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 contain an eyewitness account of what happened at creation, dictated by God to Moses, and therefore the most accurate account, upon which all scientific theories must be built. Yet the Bible doesn't read like a science textbook. And even its creation accounts do not read like treatises on cosmology or physics or biology. Some read the Bible as though it were a book of promises from God. I met a woman several years ago who was angry with God. She had gone to church her whole life. She was part of a women's Bible study for years. Her son became gravely ill, and the women in her Bible study agreed with her to stand upon the Word and to trust its promises. They claimed certain scriptures like Psalm 91, verse 3, Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. And James chapter 5, verse 14, Is any among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church, pray over them, and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Yet her son died. The Bible now seemed to her a book of broken promises. I'd suggest that each of these concepts about the Bible is flawed. And when the Bible is read while holding these assumptions, the reader will at some point become confused, misguided, or profoundly disappointed. While I've described what the Bible is not, in the remainder of this section, I'd like to help you think about what the Bible is. That answer is a bit more complex and rich than our pat answers might imply.